What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to learn more or schedule your next appointment at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. I am your host, Double T, Travis Thayer, and mentioned a couple times during drive time that this might be the most jam-packed Crunch Time that we've had in quite some time. We're going to talk wrestling, basketball, track and field, baseball, softball. We got some football stuff to throw in there too. Plenty to get to, so going to jump right in, especially because we got to get to the springtime on-air auction right at 6:30 this evening, so stay tuned for that as well. Let's start with Mason Paris. This is a young man we've been talking about for the past few weeks as he was pursuing an NCAA heavyweight championship. He won that. Goes on to have the 33-0 perfect season as a fifth-year senior at the University of Michigan, and we were anticipating the announcement of if he was going to win the Hodge Award. And a little bit earlier this afternoon, Mason was indeed announced as the winner of that prestigious award. It is college wrestling's equivalent of the Heisman Trophy, and that makes Mason Paris the top wrestler in the country. And just to give you a little background on the Hodge Trophy, it is named after Oklahoma three-time NCAA champion Dan Hodge. And to determine the winner, they have the Hodge Trophy Voting Committee that's made up of past Hodge winners, retired coaches from each region, and then national media members. The criteria was overall record, bonus point percentage, quality of competition, and sportsmanship. There was also a fan vote that we were telling you about over the past few days, and Mason won that fan vote, I should say, by landslide. Hard for me to say. He had almost 5,000 more votes than the second place vote getter from Penn State, and ended up winning the award in a landslide as well. 38 first place votes, second place got 14, and again, it was just a awesome year for Mason. Undefeated. Of his 33 wins, 17 were against nationally ranked opponents. So there's your quality of competition. He earned 21 bonus wins, 11 falls, 3 technical falls, and 7 major decisions. So just an awesome year for Mason. It was awesome to see him win the NCAA championship as well, as he had gotten close a couple years ago, losing to Gable Stevenson in the finals. So it's been a long time coming for Mason. I think everybody from the Lawrenceburg area, Eagle Country area, that's followed his high school career and then his college career knew that it was certainly possible for him to win the national championship, and now the Hodge Award recipient as well. So just wanted to give a shout out to him as well. He is the first Michigan wrestler to win that award and the first from Indiana to win that award as well. And if you're going down to Red's opening day on Thursday, you'll see Mason in the parade. He's going to be riding on Cinerama's 2-time first place float in the Findlay Market opening day parade on Thursday. So it'll be interesting to see if he's got the Michigan colors on or if he's got the Cincinnati Reds colors on. It could go either way at this point. So there you have it. Congratulations to Mason Paris on a fantastic college career and winning the Hodge Award. Let's move right into our next topic here. I want to talk South Dearborn basketball. New girls basketball head coach announced this past week, and it's a former South Dearborn standout herself. Julie Messmore taking over for Daryl Gibbs, and Julie has been on the coaching staff the past 3 seasons as an assistant. Going to be taken over for Coach Gibbs, who led this program the last 3 years. They only went 13-57. It has been a little bit of a struggle with this program in recent memory, and they actually haven't had a winning season in 11 years. So I've said it a couple of times already when talking about Julie Messmore taking over. If she is anything like a coach, like she was as a player, this program's going to be going in the right direction, because she is one of the best basketball players in South Dearborn High School history, I think, regardless of gender. Just a very, very good player, and looking forward to seeing what she brings to the table as a coach. And it's going to be a really cool situation as well, because, well, she's already gotten to coach her daughter Gracie, who's on the team, but now as the head coach, they get to kind of further that relationship from a basketball standpoint. And Gracie's going to be one of the key contributors contributors coming back for this team. I think Natalie Cantrell, you look at her first when you look at the returners for this Lady Knights team as we get into the fall and winter months. Natalie was really, really good as a junior. The way she's able to pressure the ball and turn teams over, take that defense and turn it into offense, that's a good place to start. Bernadette Wisman is another player that has been playing since she was a freshman, a lot of varsity experience, does a lot of really nice things for this team. Lakota Vincent is another one I will throw in there. And you have Riley Legale that has also played some varsity minutes as well. So the returning three starters, they got some experience there. Hopefully some of the younger kids that haven't necessarily gotten to the varsity level yet are able to step up and fill some roles of depth for Coach Messmore in her first season, and they can get things turned around pretty quickly with that program. So we'll certainly have our eyes on South Dearborn's girls basketball team this coming season to see what kind of improvements they make, and we'll certainly be calling some of their games as well. Particularly Rivertown Classic and likely sectional play as well. So looking forward to seeing how it goes. That's how I can sum it up there. Let's move on to track and field. There was the HSR Indoor Championship over the weekend, and plenty of local flavor at this indoor state championship. Franklin County, state runner-up in the 4x200 relay. Audrey Harper, Ella Flannery, Madison Merritt, and Mackenzie Brzezinski were part of that 4x200 relay team. They actually broke the school record, so congratulations there. Other top performers at the indoor state meet include Lawrenceburg's 4x200 team. They were right behind Franklin County. Third place, you got the Tigers, Lucy Thornton, who was sixth in the long jump. Casey Sharpshear from Lawrenceburg was fifth in the high jump. And then Elena Beinkamper and Molly Stoyer were sixth and seventh in the shot put for Lawrenceburg as well. East Central, they had a contingent there. Ellie Hill was 12th in the high jump, eighth in the long jump. Georgia Ferguson, Erica Wells, Callie Bentley, and Rachel Campbell, they placed fourth in the 4x400. And then Rachel Campbell, along with Addie Brewer, Erica Wells, and Callie Bentley, were seventh in the 4x800. So some of the top performances from that indoor state championship as these student athletes continue to prepare for a track and field season that will eventually move to outdoors now that we're getting a little bit better weather. That's going to be right around the corner. Speaking of outdoor sports, baseball getting started up this week here in Eagle Country, softball as well. And wanted to give another shout out to Peyton Merrico. We've talked about him a little bit just during regular weekly programming. First team All-State selection as a junior, and he has been named to Prep Baseball Report's 2023 preseason All-State 1A team, and as mentioned, being an All-State player as a junior, well-deserved getting the nod as the preseason All-State player. For his senior season, exceptionally good on the mound is Peyton Merrico, 7-2, 0.61 ERA last season. Struck out 102 batters in 69 and a third innings pitched, and only walked 18, and he only gave up 6 earned runs all season as well. So absolutely getting it done on the mound, and not too shabby at the plate as well. Hit 382, scored a team-high 27 runs as a junior, and Merrico played a big role in Rising Sun going 16-9 last year and winning a sectional championship. And they got some talent coming back beyond Peyton Merrico. He's certainly going to be one of the big names on this team, but Peyton Creech is back. He hit 286 last year, was among their top hitters in terms of runs batted in. Brady Works was another one that did some nice things at the plate. He pitched a little bit in relief, so those are a couple players to keep an eye on. And then Dylan Martin, saw what he could do on the basketball floor. Very talented there, but as a pitcher, helping out Merrico there, giving him some relief and helping with the starting duties. 3-2, 4.32 ERA just a season ago. So again, quite a bit of talent coming back for Rising Sun, and they're going to be tested right out of the gate at home this Saturday against EIAC champion Batesville. They went 20-6 a year ago, and they certainly have some talent coming back as well. Jack Grunkmeyer hit 408 last year, 5-0 on the mound. Max Bomber, a big-time hitter, 400, 2 home runs, 20 ribbies last year. Charlie Shebler was a guy that hit close to 400, and Will Geisel was another name to watch as he's a kind of do-it-all player for Batesville. So that should be a really good contest on Saturday as those teams get their season underway. Moving forward from that, this story put out today at EagleCountryOnline.com, the Skyline Chili Reds Futures High School Showcase going to start up this Friday, and Lawrenceburg going to be taking on Harrison on opening night of this high school showcase, and that game is going to be played at the Reds Youth Academy. That's going to be at the stadium field. What's the time on that? Let me get that for you here. That's going to be a 5:30 start time on Friday. Tigers went 12-15 last year. That was probably a little disappointing from their perspective. Do return their top two hitters in Kyle Heaney, 385, and Thomas Moore commit Andrew Myers at 312. They both combined for 34 ribbies last year. Harrison, 16-12. They got their some of their top returning hitters back as well. Anthony and Nick Seedham both hit over 316 RBIs each. Kellen Dalio and Joe Banks looked a star on the mound for the Wildcats this season. So again, that should be a pretty great contest between those two teams, and a cool experience to play the Reds Urban Youth Academy at the stadium field. That's going to give it a kind of big time feel. Beyond that, Harrison softball team, they're going to be playing on Friday as well. So that is something that you can check out. They're going to be playing Seton. That's a 5 p.m. first pitch, again, at the Reds Youth Academy on field number 4. And what's kind of cool about this is if you go to one of the showcase games, it's $5 each to get in, and the tickets will be available at all of the scheduled ballparks on game day. And with each ticket, you get a voucher good for one free view-level ticket to a select Reds game and a coupon for a Skyline Chili Cheese Coney. So that's pretty cool. And all the teams that participate in the Futures High School Showcase going to be invited to Great American Ballpark on Sunday, May 7th to participate in the March at the Majors Parade prior to the Reds versus White Sox game. The Showcase MVPs will also receive a commemorative bat during pregame ceremony, so who knows, that might come from one of these young men or women that are playing in the Skyline Chili Reds Futures High School Showcase. I wanted to mention Connor, just right across the creek in Northern Kentucky. They're going to play Beechwood May 12th at Great American Ballpark. What an experience that's going to be for those young men. But you can learn more about the Skyline Chili Reds Futures High School Showcase at EagleCountryOnline.com. Some of the other area games this week: East Central will open Friday at Shelbyville. Milan's going to play in a tournament this weekend. They got North Decatur and Brown County in pool play, it seems. South Dearborn will start up a week from today at Rushville, and tomorrow you have South Ripley taking on Oldenburg Academy. In softball, you got East Central at Richmond tomorrow, Lawrenceburg at Rising Sun on Wednesday. Milan, they're 0-1. They'll take on Oldenburg Academy tomorrow. Switzerland County opens against Trimble County on Wednesday, and South Ripley and Batesville actually playing as we speak, or we're scheduled to play this evening as we speak. South Dearborn got started over the weekend with a doubleheader at Richmond. So there you have it with some baseball softball news. We will delve a little bit deeper into those two sports in the weeks to come, and certainly all through the spring and summer as we track these teams' progress, what players are standing out on a week-to-week basis. So there will be plenty more to come in terms of baseball and softball at the high school level. But right now, we're going to step aside for about a 90-second break and come back with the second half action of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine here at Eagle Country 99.3.
It's time for a word with Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Doc, let's start off by hearing a little bit about OrthoCincy and what services you provide to the community.
Yes, so I do a little bit of everything. It ranges from hand stuff. I'll do procedures in the office like trigger fingers, carpal tunnels. And then, of course, you've got more of the kind of the outpatient things, you know, that chronic shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain, you know, things like arthritis. Those are more appropriately kind of worked up on an outpatient basis. See you in the office, get some x-rays, and then kind of talk about, you know, your treatment options and whether that's, you know, non-surgical or surgical options. You know, orthopedics care is absolutely both non-surgical and surgical things.
And how about helping injured student athletes in the area?
The biggest question when you come in is, hey, is this something that you can play through or not? And so a lot of times, again, that starts with an x-ray, starts with an exam. And even if we have to get next step, something like an MRI, and usually have a little bit quicker trigger just because, again, there's, you know, you don't have time to see if this gets better or not in 3 weeks. You want to know, can I play this weekend or not? And mm-hmm. So if we do need something like an MRI, try to do a really good job of holding kind of urgent MRI spots for our athletes and try to get them in as soon as possible. That way we get that information. And again, it's, you know, it's a matter of are you hurt or are you injured? And if it's, you know, if it hurts, but everything structurally checks out okay, then tape it and, you know, do some exercises, but have at it.
That's a word with Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. More Crunch Time now.
Welcome back. Crunch Time presented by Ortho Sensi, Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home. Second half action here of Crunch Time. Remember, immediately following the show, we will get into the springtime on-air auction. That'll run 6:30 to 8, an opportunity to save big on a lot of great items, and I do have a little bit more on that at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. Right now, I want to talk a little high school football, and I know it's not really the season for that, but I'm a big Twitter guy, and I've been seeing a lot of interesting stuff when it pertains to football recruiting in this area, and Josh Ringer is one that keeps popping up all over the place because, well, he's kind of been all over the place. Visited Duke over the weekend. He also has interest from Navy, Air Force, Army, James Madison, Ball State, Miami of Ohio, Yale, Penn, EKU, Dartmouth, Columbia, and Eastern Michigan. So I see some MAC schools in there. I see Ivy League, which tells me that he's very, very smart. Not just a great football player. And then, of course, some military schools in Navy, Air Force, and Army. So a lot of people after the services of Josh Ringer, who they don't necessarily give an MVP award in the state championship games, but let's be honest, he was the MVP of the state championship game. He ran wild in that game, leading East Central to a state championship as a junior. That's the scary thing. He's back for a full senior season, so who knows? This list could grow. There could be schools from Power 5 conferences that eventually are on there offering him a scholarship, so we're certainly excited for Josh and excited to see what other teams might be after his services as a college football player, but he's certainly got a lot of schools, great schools to choose from so far, and man, those Ivy League schools really kind of jump off the page to me because beyond playing football, you're going to get awesome education. That degree is going to go a long way as well. So pretty cool stuff there. His teammate, Ryan Brotherton, he's drawing interest from Cincinnati, Miami of Ohio, James Madison, Western and Eastern Michigan. I see Ball State on there as well. So there's a little bit of an overlap between Josh and Ryan as they're getting looked at by some of the same teams. Their quarterback, Cole Burton, he has certainly been to Eastern Kentucky University. That's one to keep an eye on for him as well, as all these guys are back to power that trip. Trojans offense coming up this fall. So congrats to those young men so far for the interest they've garnered from some of these schools at the D1 level. And then from Lawrenceburg, saw Noah Kaniga visited Ball State over the weekend, actually ran into his former teammate Daya Patel, who is a preferred walk-on there. And I wanted to mention Daya for a second, too, because last year as a freshman, I saw multiple times on Twitter that he was a scout player of the week for Ball State, and that might not seem like a great accomplishment to some out there, but I think it's outstanding, especially coming from a walk-on perspective. You got to start somewhere, and if he's showing out on the scout team, that's going to bud into more opportunities. Maybe he eventually lands on special teams playing on Saturdays, and then works his way out there at the wide receiver position, which he starred at for Lawrenceburg at the high school level, and we've seen these stories many a times. Those that follow sports, you see these walk-ons that earn scholarships later in their college career, and I think Daya is on that path to be that guy, to be in one of those viral videos on Twitter or Facebook, YouTube, whatever it is, of the coach, you know, getting the team together and then calling an individual up and letting them know that they haven't earned a full scholarship. So hopefully that's in the future for Daya Patel, but it was really cool to see him and Noah kind of getting together as Noah visited Ball State. I know he's been to Miami of Ohio as well, and he's embarking on his junior campaign. So Noah's already getting some good looks as a young high school football player. So again, these are a few individuals we're keeping our eye on, and I'm sure there's going to be more that pop up getting interest from colleges, whether it's at the D1 level or not. We're going to follow all that as best as we possibly can. Speaking of a footballer that played D1 football, or at least was on the roster on a D1 football team, was Luke Collinsworth out of East Central. Started his college athletics career at the University of Cincinnati, decided that football wasn't actually for him, and switched from football to basketball by transferring to Mount St. Joseph University. And wouldn't you know it, his first first year playing college basketball as a sophomore. He earns Newcomer of the Year in the Heartland Conference, averaged 15 points per game. That was ninth in the conference, and he was 5.3 rebounds, which was among the leaders there as well in the Heartland Conference, and he made second team All-Conference as a sophomore. And trust me, I saw Luke play plenty at the high school level. Very gifted basketball player for how big he is. He's very nimble and fleet-footed down low. Can step out and hit a jumper on you as well. Just a very, very talented individual all around. And he's showing it at Mount St. Joe. Congratulations to Luke on the accomplishments there in his sophomore season. Furthering on with some basketball talk, the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association released their all-state teams last week. It was after last week's crunch time, so that's why we're getting to it this week. But area players named senior all-state honorable mention. Ryan Willoughby's one that pops off the page here from South Dearborn. What a season he had, averaging close to 20 points per game, the leader in the EIAC. And just watching his growth as a basketball player over the past three seasons, where he went from a sophomore, junior to senior, the role changing for him throughout those three seasons. I thought what he showed this year was incredible. Not only, you know, being able to score 20 points per game when the other team is actively trying to take you out of the game, knowing that you're the top scorer on that team and in the league, and still being able to do it on a consistent basis while playing defense and often guarding the other team's best player or second best player. Just a really great season for Ryan, and the way he handles himself on the floor has always been something that I've maybe been a little jealous of, because I didn't have that type of demeanor when I was a high schooler. I was a little bit of a hothead, but Ryan was always really good in that regard as well. He was joined on the honorable mention list by some other EIAC talent: Cole Pride out of Batesville, Kai Dyer from Greensburg, and Josh Williams from Connersville. In the ORVC, Peyton Gwynn from Southwestern Hanover, and I'm sure many folks in the area familiar with North Decatur star Lance Nobby, making the senior All-State honorable mention as well. It's a good list right there. If you had those six kids on your team, you're going really, really far. Six of those players, very, very talented. The underclass All-State honorable mention included the following area players: Cam Craig out of Switzerland County, Cole Henry from South Ripley, Cade Kaiser from Batesville, Jameson Lewis from Southwestern, and another from North Decatur, Caden Muckerhide. Cam Craig makes the list despite not playing very much as a sophomore. He did have that big 40-point game right out of the chute. He averaged 23.3 points per game. He just wasn't out there a ton due to a lingering injury. Cole Henry, fantastic for South Ripley, the leader in points and rebounds in the ORVC. He's really, really good. I mean, him and Cam Craig, two to really watch the next couple years in the ORVC. And then Cade Kaiser, I like what he brings to the table for Batesville. 6'4", great athlete, and was amongst the top scorers in the conference this year as a sophomore. So a good list of players there, and we're going to get to see a few of these going forward as underclass players. And one other thing I wanted to mention in high school basketball was Cole Pride. The same day that he learned he was All-State honorable mention, he was named to the top 60 senior workout. That actually took place yesterday at Marion University. So imagine that was a great experience for the 6'8 forward, as he got to mix it up with some of the best senior players in the state. Switzerland County Athletic Hall of Fame, wanted to mention this briefly. This year, they only have two inductees, Karen Allen Downing and Wayne Stahl. They're going to be recognized at the Varsity Club Dinner on Thursday, April 20th. That is an event that will feature Al Unser Jr. as a guest speaker. Karen, a pioneer female athlete in Pacers history. She played on the first girls varsity basketball team, graduate 1979, also ran track, and went on to play college basketball at Sterling College in Kansas, where she still resides. So hopefully she's going to be able to make the trip back to VV for the induction ceremony. And then Wayne Stahl, standout in track and field at the at VV High School. So this is going back to 61 when he graduated. They didn't have a home track, so this is actually kind of interesting. Practice was in the outfield of the baseball field, or running from the old gym to State Road 56 to the Alps Auto Drive-In Theater sign, and then back to the gym. People might know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that, but Wayne Stahl, dominant in track and field. He averaged over 16 points a meet, only was beaten in the mile one time, and did run anchor on the mile relay team that set a school record back in his day as well. So good stuff there, and that should be fun if you're a Switzerland County Athletics fan to go out to the Varsity Club dinner on Thursday, April 20th. More details at EagleCountryOnline.com. All right, really quickly here, wanted to get to Reds opening day. They did not have a good year last year. The year before that, they're just in a really down period right now, but have a lot of exciting prospects. I think if they can jump up to 70 wins this year, that might be generous, but that would be a successful accomplishment for this team. Play the Pirates 4-10 on Thursday. Hunter Green is the opening day starter. Joey Votto going to start the season in AAA at Louisville, and we are going to have some Louisville Bats tickets on the auction. So if you go early, you might get a chance to see Joey play down there, get a little closer to the action to see him play. Also, Ellie De La Cruz, he's the top prospect in the Reds organization and one of the top across the sport. So you can see him down there as well. FC Cincinnati, if you pay attention to that, they're unbeaten through five games, second in the Eastern Conference, two home games coming up this weekend and next against Miami and Philadelphia. And then, of course, the Final Four upcoming, the men's Final Four. FAU, San Diego State, UConn, Miami. Three of those teams have never been there before. UConn's the favorite. I would love to see Florida Atlantic win it because they're the biggest underdog, but I actually like San Diego State in that. And if you've not been watching the women's college basketball tournament, you have to watch Iowa's Caitlin Clark play. 41-point triple-double in a win the other night. She is absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for tuning in to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. OrthoSensi.com for more information about their services. Stay tuned. We got the springtime on-air auction coming up next here at Eagle Country 99.3.